to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Hallelujah, Bride. Good evening. This is your host, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Picayune, Mississippi. Listen, we are so excited to be here tonight featuring two very seasoned ministers in the deliverance ministry because, you know, we have had many speakers on the radio and through television this whole month that are talking about 2016. What is God going to do in 2016? The perspective of these ministers today, I believe, will give us the tools and strategies and more ways that we can overcome in this season that God is about to release his bride into. Amen. Now listen, check them out and check all of our speakers out at WATBRadio.com. We are also on Twitter at WATB Radio. Okay, now listen, today we have Doctors Van and Sandy Hutchinson from Mullen, South Carolina. How y'all doing today?
We're doing super.
Doing good.
Doing good.
Well, we are very honored that y'all are with us tonight. And as I said in the introduction, we are in the most cataclysmic point of Christianity that we have ever known. We are in an hour that just begs for us to understand spiritual warfare. Amen.
Yes. We've totally
So it is only, you know, the grace of God that has brought y'all to us tonight to be able to impart into us to be able to overcome, because the Bible says in the last days even the very elect will be deceived. And we do not want to be deceived, Bride. We want to keep our eyes wide open and all of the gates shut. Amen. Okay, now listen, we are going to hear a little bit about this ministry, and then they're going to talk about their life. Okay. We have been in ministry, Christian ministry, for over 30 years, emphasizing the transformation of church members into warriors for Christ. In our personal ministry, we have seen many miracles, healings, and deliverances from demonic oppression through the name of our Lord Jesus. Sandy has a tremendous testimony of God's healing power after 20 years of asthma, allergies, and COPD. Van has a testimony of raising a lady from the dead through the power in the name of Jesus. As the Latter-day Church prepares the way for an end-time revival, we believe that the Holy Spirit is raising up an army of trained, motivated, and equipped believers from all denominations to go forth and demonstrate the power of a living God. He has trained and anointed us to be teachers in the body of Christ in order to help pave the way for this revival of power, signs, and wonders. It is our goal to assist the church in moving beyond the grasshopper mentality, which is Numbers 13:30-33, to that of Caleb, who said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we were well able to overcome." Please allow them to assist you and your congregation by sharing the vision and revelations that God has given them. They're available for all church services, revivals, conferences, and seminars. And you can find them by emailing them at info@vanhutchinsonministries.org. And that's with two N's. So your website, I'm assuming then, is vanhutchinsonministries.org, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. Now if y'all don't mind sharing with the bride, you obviously travel the world doing deliverance ministry. What did God do to bring you to the point that you understand spiritual warfare?
Go ahead.
Well, we've been teaching spiritual warfare for 30 years, I guess. As doing the warfare, the speaking to the mountains, the doing the things that the Bible says do to receive the victory. If you look for the promises, most people just want to read the promise, but around that promise somewhere is a condition.
If we
live that condition out of a right heart toward God, it makes the promises a lot easier to get. So we were teaching
right.
So we were teaching that for a long time until one day, just out of the blue, God changed the course of our ministry and said, "I want you to start doing deliverance."
Yeah.
And that took us on a whole different course, and spiritual warfare took on a whole different meaning to us then.
Right. Well, tell us about your life, Van. What happened to you? How did you get saved? Was your parents Christians or what?
Well, that was a long time ago, but I do remember.
yeah.
I got saved at 10 years old. I said I was a little boy Baptist.
Amen, me too.
So a little country church, and God, I knew he was putting a call on my heart, so I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I didn't have too much knowledge about what to do after that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like most of us, as we get older, we kind of wandered away when I got into college, but God never forgot us. I look back now and I see the things that he did in college that trained me to do what I do today. I thought there was no hand on me at all. But the research and all that I did as in graduate schools and those things is exactly what we do today to produce the material that God is having us to put out. So I didn't even know that God still had his hand on me, but he did.
Yeah.
And then when Sandy and I got married, and we decided that we needed to have God in our life, so that we started back to going to church and things, and I guess I was 35 when I was a physical therapist, and we had a patient that came to the hospital that I was contracting, and Sandy was working with me at the time, and she met this lady that came in, and I had worked on her, and she told me about the baptism into the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. And, you know, here I was. I had enough college degrees for all of us. And this lady,
yeah.
I assume she had graduated from high school. But
yeah.
She knew more in one paragraph. She knew more than I knew in everything.
Wow.
And it just opened up a door for us. And she became our mentor.
Wow.
We received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And she brought us CDs, or I guess it was tapes in those days.
Yeah,
she brought us tapes. That'll really tell people how old we are. But she brought us tapes every time she came. She brought us Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland,
Bob.
Thank God for that woman.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll tell you. She showed us how and put in us that desire to mentor people and help people along, because we needed it. And she introduced us to a group in a town right near us, and the man that was over that group became my male mentor. And he showed
yeah.
me how a godly man lives. And so that was a tremendous experience with him. And then we were in Charismatic Church and
Full Gospel Businessmen.
You know, yeah, we started off doing Full Gospel Businessmen.
Yeah.
Our testimony there. And then God just started opening doors as we began to learn the Word. And I did the prison ministry for about 10 years weekly.
Love the prison ministry.
That was a good experience.
Yes.
But what else did we do? We had a radio ministry for 25 years. That was a weekly series. And we had a tent ministry for 3 years. Then we'd put the tent up in the summer, go into small towns and areas and put up our tent and play music loud and all the kids, get the kids to come out and teach them about Jesus and pray them in the kingdom and give them the Bible. And what else do we do, Sandy?
TV ministry.
Yeah, we did a local TV ministry for 3 years.
Pastored
a church for 3.5 in a small Church of God in our area.
That's so cute, her standing there telling you what you're
Yeah, listen, let me tell you, it takes the two of us to ride two blocks to get downtown. We talk about, we're like one dog with two heads, and some people call us the two-headed dog because it takes
yeah.
the most of us. We minister together. It's the most exciting thing I've ever seen. And sometimes we'll say the same thing, call out the same thing at the same time with the same wording when we're doing deliverance.
Wow.
And this morning we were praying, and we both used exactly the same sentence, the same words, the same tone.
The same scripture.
Yeah, at the same time we were both, and I just laughed.
That is
awesome.
That's
God for you, you know. But,
yes.
but Sandy, tell her about the Bible college
yeah.
that we started.
11 years ago, we got together with another lady and started a Bible college. And Van and I taught in that Bible college for 11 years, but this past June, we retired because our full-time deliverance ministry was taking so much of our time that we just couldn't do that anymore.
Right, right.
But when we started the Bible college, I was so sick back then that when Van and the other lady said, we're going to do this, I said, well, I'm just so sick. How am I going to do this? And Van said, I'll help you. If you can't be there, I'll teach your lesson. And he wrote my program. He did every bit of that to help me. And by me being forced to get into the Word, I think that was part of my healing. You know, having to just be completely covered in that Word and in the Word constantly, I think that helped bring about my healing.
Oh, amen. Now, if you don't mind, Miss Sandy, can you tell us a story about your healing? You actually have a book, right?
Yes. It's called Healed of Asthma, Allergies, and COPD. Yes.
That's the name of your book?
Website. Yes. Healed
okay,
of
so
asthma,
y'all can get her book on our website. If you don't mind giving us a short little synopsis of the basics of your book, like what happened to gain your healing?
Sure. Well, my family had, for years, had respiratory problems, and so I just sort of expected it.
Yeah.
Bad decision, but I did. And
yeah.
So when I would be outdoors and people would be cutting their grass, I would start having symptoms. And so I would run in the house to try to, you know, not have any allergy problems. And I can see now that Satan was just training me to be sick.
Yeah.
And when Van and I first moved to South Carolina, when we first got married, I went to the doctor with bronchitis the very first winter that we moved here in 72. And the doctor said, you've got to stop smoking. Your lungs look terrible. And I said, well, I've never smoked in my life. But everybody around me smoked. Everybody in the family, when I was in college, everybody smoked. When I went to the teacher's lounge, everybody smoked. And he said my lungs looked like a smoker's lungs. and yet I had never smoked. Well, it got worse from there. From just having bronchitis every now and then, it became constantly having to take medication for allergies, constantly having a sinus infection, pneumonia. I was just always sick. And I was going to three doctors at a time. I'd go to an allergist and get allergy shots. I would go to my family doctor and get medications for maintenance. And I would go to a pulmonologist, and it was just constant, always wondering if I was going to drop dead, because many, many times I would be walking down the hall at school and somebody would be beating the erasers or something, and the dust would make me not be able to catch my breath. And
right,
so
it was
a very, very frightening thing. And one day I was driving my car in a local town, and God said to me, if you would get Dodie Osteen's book, Healed of Cancer, and do what she did, I would heal you. And I went right then to the Christian bookstore and got that book. And I started praying the way she said God led her to pray. And as I marked the scriptures that she had in my Bible, and as I would read out those scriptures daily, God would give me other scriptures. So that by the time I had the whole set of scriptures that are in my book, I was praying those scriptures about an hour a day. And sometimes I would do it three times a day, because I read in one of Derek Prince's books, he said that God showed him, if it was a pill and the doctor said take it three times a day, you would. And so I said, okay, I'll take my pill three times a day. And so I would get up and I would fight the enemy with that word of God. And I would say, this promise belongs to me, devil. It's mine. I'm holding on to it, and you can't take it away from me. And I just
kept
fighting.
Come on now, amen.
Yes. Well, I started that in the fall. I believe it was about August when God showed me that. Well, in 7 months, I was no better. And I went back to God, and I said, God, you said if I did this, you would heal me. And he said, go back and read the book. So I went back and read the book again, and I saw what I had missed. God showed Dodie to go out, and even though she wasn't healed, to start praying for the sick, because in giving, we receive. And
right.
So I said, okay, I got to find me somebody to go pray for. Now, even though we had been in the ministry for all these years, I was very shy about praying for people. And I thought, now who is going to let me go out and pray for them? Because I don't know how to pray for people. And I went to some ladies in our community who were shut-ins and were retired, and they were, you know, not able to get out to church. And I would visit them on a weekly basis, and while I was there, I'd pray for them. Well, in 2 months, we went to church one day. We were driving to Charlotte, 3 hours from our home every Sunday, because God had led us to do that. We were going to a miracle ministry.
Yeah.
And when I got out of the car, I had a terrible asthma attack. It was Easter, and the pollen was just very thick. And it took 80 milligrams of steroids to get me to breathing normally that day. And anybody that knows steroids knows that's a lot of steroids. But my allergist had told me to take 20 and then 10 at a time until I was breathing normally. And that's what it took that day. So we drove back home that afternoon. And 2 days later, a friend of mine made a comment. She was reading a Kenneth Hagin book about something that he said about taking authority over someone's sickness. And I said, well, maybe I've just not been taking authority the right way. And so the next morning, we were going to take my grandson to the beach, and I took authority and I said, even though the pollen is terrible outside, it will not affect me today, because I'm going to take my grandson to the beach, and you're not going to affect me, devil. And it didn't. And I said, whoa, I must be onto something. And so 2 days after that, I was out working in the flower beds, and I had been binding the symptoms, and they had not been coming. And that day I was putting out pine straw, and that dust rose up, and the asthma grabbed me. And it made me so mad, I jumped up and I shouted, "Devil, you're not putting this back on me. I'm healed." And I felt that devil leave. It was just like you turned on a vacuum and sucked it out. I felt it go up through the top of my head and leave. And I have been healed. This Easter will make 6 years since I've been healed.
Yay!
Yes. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
That's what I said.
I bet.
You know, I almost lost Sandy 4 or 5 times in about 25 years.
Aww.
And so this was a real blessing to us. Of course, we couldn't do what we're doing now if God had not healed Sandy.
Right.
Yeah.
But, what we do, I have a part and Sandy has a part in it, and we put them together, and it makes up all of our ministry work. And
exactly.
I couldn't do it all, so we were really thankful for that. Let me tell you another thing about Sandy's healing. When she would get up sometimes in the middle of the night and go at it, and one night I heard her in our den, I was in my bedroom asleep, and I woke up and I heard her all the way down in the den. Just, boy, she was saying, "This is what God said about me," and she was just reading those scriptures out and said, "I claim this, this is mine." And I said, "Well, Lord, I guess I better get up and go help her." And the Holy Spirit spoke to me very strongly and said, "You lay back down." He said, "This is her victory to win."
Wow.
And so I got back in bed because I knew it was going to come. I just didn't know when. But she needed to find out that God is, it's true. What he said is true.
Yes.
But you got to fight
yes.
through. There's a devil between us and victory. Well, there's more than
yes.
one devil, but there's a lot of the devils are there, and you just got to get them moved. And sometimes that takes a while.
Yes. Now, listen, Miss Sandy, I just feel led to ask you to pray. There's somebody listening to this broadcast that sickness has really just wore them down, and they feel very discouraged. And if you don't mind praying for that person to give them the strength to get back in the battle and to fight that spiritual warfare, would you mind praying for that person, please?
I wouldn't mind a bit. Let's pray now. Father God, everybody that's listening to this radio program, I ask you, Lord, to quicken the Spirit of God in their heart, to give
yes,
them the
Lord.
Faith to pursue every victory that you have for them. And I come
yes.
against every sickness that's attacking these people. I come against respiratory disease. I come against heart disease. I come against every disease that the devil has sent to destroy their lives. I bind
yes.
you, devils, in the name of Jesus. I bind
yes,
you,
Lord.
And I loose the Spirit of God to go and minister to them right now. And I just thank you, Lord, for giving them the faith to reach out and take hold of your promises, because we
yes,
know the kingdom
Lord.
Of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And
yes.
I ask you, Lord, to show them how to take their victory and wrench it out of the hands of the devil who doesn't want them to get it. And I just pray, Lord, for healing for everybody that's listening to this program today. Let the spirit of faith rise up within them. And we just thank you, Lord, for healing them and giving them strength today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, before we take our commercial break, I want to ask both of you, because you both have very unique perspective coming from the deliverance side. With the state that America is in today, with gross darkness covering the earth, and you know, many people, many Christians are falling away, and the false grace that's moving through and all that. What would you say to the church right now, just the bride in America, whether it be a warning, a prophetic thought, or what?
Okay. You want us to say it now or wait until the commercial?
Yes. Yes, now.
Okay. Well, let me start since I was talking first. You know, you mentioned false grace. We deal with a lot of people who have been told, "Well, God's in charge, you don't have to do anything." Well, God is in charge, but Jesus, when he died, he said it's finished. He fought the battle. And he said, it's finished, and he put it in our hands. Now we have a part to play. We have to speak to the mountain. We have to resist the devil. We have to cast down imaginations. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to see a victory in your life. This story of false grace that, oh, God will do it all. Just sit down and don't do a thing. Don't pray.
Yeah.
Don't do anything. God will take care of it all. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil, because he doesn't want the body of Christ to be victorious. And half the body of Christ doesn't even believe there is a devil out there.
I know it.
So,
amen.
I think that is what we're seeing today. People just don't know that there's an enemy that has to be fought. They don't know, like when God showed me that I had to fight. You see, all I thought you had to do was just pray. No, you have to fight the enemy. God wants you to be healed. He wants you to have victory. You know, when Daniel prayed, the angel came to him and said, God sent the answer the first day, but it took 21 days of that angel fighting with the enemy to get through.
Yeah.
And most people want to quit fighting before the answer comes. So that's what I think. Van, what do you want to add to that?
Profound word.
Yeah, and you have to appropriate your victories. It's not coming.
What do you mean by that?
You have to plant your seed. You have to go get it.
I'll
tell you. This is what we say sometimes. Sandy's a really good cook, and she puts the food on the table, and she tells me that food is ready. And if I want it, I've got to get up and get it. And if I don't get up and go get it, I'm not going to get that promise. So that's what I mean by we appropriate it. We have to go and take our victory. We have to go get it if we want it. In fact, most people are waiting on the sovereignty of God. But I don't think that God moves in sovereignty unless there's something that he really wants to get done, if he wants to change the course of human history, or if he wants to change the course of your life or my life. Like, I think it was a sovereign move with Paul on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
But we see very few people having a Damascus Road experience. I think that we operate the kingdom of God just like we operate our car. You know where you want to go. You know how to get there. You have the skill to do it, and you end up where you want to be. We do the same thing with the Word of God. We know what the promises are. We know what the conditions are, and we begin to live those conditions and be in a place with God where the victories are going to be poured out. If I was standing in the front of the room and God was pouring out $100 bills in the back of the room, if I stayed in the front of the room, I wouldn't get anything. So you've got to be ready to move and get where God wants you to be and to do what God wants you to do for consistent victory to come in your life. We're not looking for a victory. We're not looking for just a presence of God. We're looking to live in that presence at all times. The kingdom of God is in power, and the kingdom of God is in each one of us that are born again. And kingdom power resides in us. And we just need to learn how to turn that power loose so that we can receive what we need and get other people set free.
And you know, one other thing God just reminded me of. When he started teaching me how to be healed, there were a lot of things he taught me, and I can't cover them all because they're all in my book. But one of the things he taught me was, he said, I've got to change the way you think. And I said, okay, what do I think? He said, you think you're sick. And I said, you're right, I do. And you see, God had to show me every symptom I had was a lie. And I had to become an agreeer with the Word of God, which said I was healed. Because as long as I was agreeing with the devil that I was sick. You see?
Yes. I got you. Good word, because I think a lot of churches have gotten away from teaching about sin and teaching about how, you know, keeping the bride, their eyes open, like revealing. Because, you know, I was just reading the word last night where he talks about, you know, we should expose the darkness. Because when you expose the darkness, you know, and bring it to light, it, you know, exposes that. It stops it from moving forward. But a lot of churches have got away from that because of the seeker-sensitive teachings. You know what I'm saying? And it's really hurt the church, because if you're teaching them, okay, grace, you can do whatever you want. God's already dying for you. He knows the struggles you're going through. He loves you just the way you are. You don't, you know, you don't have to change. You don't have to fight. But the truth is, we are in a war. And like you said, Van, we have to take that hit and fight to get what we want. Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
That there are so many preachers that have thousands in their church. And all they will talk about is, God is so good. Well, he is good. But he is a God that is holy. And he won't let us be in the presence of him and his Son and the Holy Spirit if we are not holy.
Yes.
You know, I know my grandma was Pentecostal, and she used to talk about being holy. And so many of the church have gotten away from that. But
yeah.
We have to clean up our act.
Yes.
God's not going to trust us.
God is calling for that.
Yes. He's not
yes.
going to trust us with his power if we're not clean.
Yes. And that's absolutely right. I was preaching the other night about purity and holiness. And I told them women, I said, listen, you know, when we're single, we're married to the Lord. So just as if he was married, you wouldn't allow a man to touch your body. Your body's not your own. You know, you're married to the Lord. That's what purity is. You protect your anointing at all cost. You know, but if we are not having pastors that can teach these people to protect their eye gate, their ear gate through sin, you see,
yeah.
And they're not making them aware. I mean, to me, the blood's on their hands. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh, we know perfectly. Van and I minister to a lot of people who have had so many sex partners.
Yeah.
And yet, they're front row Christians.
Yeah.
And we have to break soul ties with every one of those sexual partners.
Yes.
Because every one of those brought something into that relationship.
Well, hey, since you're on soul ties, I would love for y'all, with your professional opinion, to answer this. A lot of Christians do not understand how having sex with someone can bring demons in. Now, can you explain that one?
Sure.
Well, we would say that the Bible says you're one flesh with them. And one of the scriptures in the Old Testament said that they were one soul, and so we use that one as the soul tie to become one, united with somebody else. Also, I don't hear anybody talking much about seeds, but whenever you have sexual relations with somebody else, all the seeds of Satan's kingdom, they plant in you.
Wow, never heard of it like that.
You're picking up all the spiritual garbage in their generations. And one of the things that I draw it on the board sometimes, I'll start off with just, okay, here you are, and then we got your parents and their parents and their parents and their parents. And when you get to 10 generations back, you've got over 1,000 people that have put into your life. I think.
Oh,
wow. If I'm not mistaken, so if you've got 1,000 people put into your life for 10 generations back, and then you get married to somebody who's got the same thing, that's over 2,000 people that have put into your marriage. Is it any wonder that we have a hard time keeping people married now?
Yeah.
But you start throwing in those sexual partners outside of marriage, if they've got 3 or 4 or 5 sexual partners that's not in the family, and you start letting those come in, and you've got thousands of people putting into your life over a 10-generation period.
So when you go to bed with your husband, all 1,000 of those demons are there with you.
Right.
How does
I
that
guess.
Sound?
And you're giving your spouse all you've brought.
Right.
That's one of the reasons we
Well, I just want to say this to the bride, you know, my book that just came out last September is my life story. All of my dirty laundry is out there, so I can say this on the radio. It's already in a book. But listen, I am just like they are talking about. I was the woman at the well. And listen, one day when I went through my summer of repentance, when God was cleaning my heart out, I was at the lake and I was in intercession. And I was praying in tongues, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to write down every person you slept with. And when I started writing, and I was faced before God in the throne about what I have done to my temple that belongs to him, that I allowed other people to enter and to touch and to do what they wanted to with, when I had to face my sin before the throne and look at it on paper, you talking about weeping, like the weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's horrible when you face what you have done in judgment before God, the holiness of his presence. It's hard to explain because you feel all of your sin on you at that moment, what you have done. I faced him 6 hours. I battled with that. I wrote it down. I held it up to heaven, and I said, Lord, I forgive every person on this list, and I ask you to forgive me and release me of these soul ties. But I had to face God about what I've done. And see, this debunks people's theology that says that is demonic, because when you got saved, everything was washed under the blood. That's the devil making you come back and remember that. Really?
Well,
I had to face God about what I'd done even after I got saved. He made me go back and conquer those soul ties. So when I held them up and I asked God to forgive me, this peace overflowed my life. He told me, he said, crumble it up and throw it in the river. I threw it in the river, and this cute little wave come up, and it sunk that thing straight down. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, that is my blood covering that. You are clean.
Yes.
And I just threw my hands up in the air and worshiped the Lord with all of my heart, because I was so dirty. All the shame and everything of what I had done was gone. You know, and this is coming from a woman that was molested and went through all types of violations, you know. And so all of that was based upon my past, see.
Yeah.
But I had to face the Lord and release those soul ties, you know. So, I mean, it's very serious, Bride. And, you know, I pray that you get in your prayer closet and you face the Lord with that. Because Drs. Van and Sandy, I just want to say this. You know, I tell people, you're either going to burn on fire for God on earth, being able to face him in repentance, face him, you know, be judged today, let him clean your heart, purify you. How does he purify you? He purifies you by judging you, removing the impurities off your life. I mean, it's the same as creating a diamond. You know, if you don't allow him to do that, you will face the judgment and burn in hell.
That's true.
You're either going to burn on fire on earth or burn in hell later. And there's only one way. He don't like lukewarm. You're either hot or cold. Amen.
That's right. And you know, too, this I was going to point out to you from what you said. Van has an analogy like this. If you bought a house and you paid cash for it and then you went to your house, you didn't drive those bugs out. You went in and, hey, there was roaches in your house. There were rats in your house. You got to go spray that house to get those bugs out. Well, that's just like demons. Just because you got born again doesn't mean all the demons left. You got to drive them out. And how do you drive them out? Just like you said, you repent, you forgive, and you cast out the devils. You got to do that.
Isn't that something? That's a good analogy.
We say that when you do soul ties, we say we break and sever the soul tie, but we cast out the devils. We think that there's two different things. The devils are holding that tie together. And so it's funny when we do that, we say we break and sever the soul tie between, we call the two people's name out. And so we break that soul tie and we command every devil trying to hold that tie between them, come out now in the name of Jesus, and you'll see a response to that. It's there's there's the sin, but then there's the devils that the sin led in. We can get rid of
the sin. Yes, and you know, talking about that, we can do deliverance upon ourselves. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We
listen,
so
I was at this retreat, and there was this pastor that said, I want to confess to everybody something. He said, now I've been in the ministry over 30 years preaching. He said, but when I was younger, you know, my parents were preachers, and I was working in this store, and I saw this Rated X magazine over there. And I was tempted. So I went over there, I looked at the magazine, and then the Lord convicted me, so I dropped it and ran away. But then I got tempted again the next day, so I go back, I look a little longer. Got tempted, go back, and then finally I quit listening to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I got caught up in it. But then, you know, I got healed and whatnot, got in the ministry, got to preaching. Well, 25 years later, I'm in prayer. And here I am, been casting demons out for 25 years and everything. And I'm in prayer, and I'm saying, Lord, please, if there's anything in me, please get it out. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, you have a spirit of lust.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what? I haven't even, you know, been lusting or anything. And the Lord brought it up about what he had done when he was younger. So the Lord said, I want you to read this scripture, the whole chapter. It was somewhere in Psalm. He opened it up, and he said as soon as he started reading, he felt this thing coming up his throat. And so he stopped reading, and it went back down. And then he caught on to it. Oh, the Lord's trying to deliver me. He said he had to fight to finish reading that chapter. And when he did, he threw up some junk. He said it was green and everything.
Yep.
And he said he never knew he had a demon. 25 years.
Well, we deal with people like that all the time. That
you do?
We deal with ministers who want to be clean, and yet they're into pornography. They go on websites, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, we break that lust. And like you said about yourself, usually these ministers have been sexually assaulted as a child. And that's how the lust got inside of them.
Yeah.
And so we have to break all of those years of hurt and the soul ties with those individuals and the, you know, everything that came into them from that person that assaulted them.
Yeah.
In fact, we're ministering to a person right now who we've been ministering to for several months. And she, while we were ministering with her, the Holy Spirit revealed to her that she was sexually assaulted by her grandfather. And we knew that she was sexually assaulted by an uncle. But the Holy Spirit, during the deliverance, showed her this other thing because we couldn't figure out where was this coming from, you know?
Yeah,
and the Holy Spirit wants us to be free. And if somebody is trying to do self-deliverance and they're just not seeming to get anywhere, that's when they need to go to a deliverance ministry like ours, because this young woman didn't even know that there'd be such a thing as demons. She just knew that she had started having seizures and they were controlling her life, and she didn't know why. Well, those demons that had been there all her life were there trying to kill her. So.
Well, I tell you what, I think the greatest disservice to the bride is for them to not be aware that we are in spiritual warfare and that there is a fight going on and that we have to protect everything about us. We have to keep all of the doors shut. And I want to say this, too. When you are walking with the Lord, you know, when I was preaching the other night, I said this. If you're not walking in repentance with your heart soft before the Lord, and when you see and conviction comes immediately and you know it, if you're not in that place to where your heart is cold and you can sin and not feel anything, you're backslid. You see? But it's keeping our hearts soft before the Lord so that we can have his you know, continual cleansing. I mean, it's a battle all the time, you know, keeping those gates shut. But when you're walking in that place, it's like you're walking under a bubble, because the protection of the Lord is like all around you. And I have been on the other side where I have left him and been cold and out there sinning without conviction. And I have felt that bubble gone. I felt like I was in a world where wolves were coming at me. You see what I mean?
Yes.
When we're Christians, we have that protection. Amen.
Well, like you say, when they're in the right place,
true,
of repentance, the place of trying to live according to the Word of God, and also the place of casting down imaginations. You know, you said about that preacher, that thought came to him and he went over there, and then it came again until he didn't cast it down. You see, have to cast down those imaginations.
Yes.
Satan will use them to tempt us, and if we yield, he'll come right in.
Those people that have been exposed in sin, like the preachers back in the 80s that were exposed, God gave them a chance. He didn't just let them be destroyed one day.
No,
He kept
that's
going
true.
To them and confronting them with people saying, you're going to be exposed if you don't stop doing this. You know, that's how merciful he is.
That's
you see
true.
What I mean?
Yes.
He tries to woo us back in and tries to get us so that we're not so far out there that we're destroyed, you know.
We talk about sometimes when God takes his protection off.
Yes.
When God is dealing with you on a certain area and we don't listen sometimes, and after a while he just takes his hand off and says, okay, I've given you enough time to repent and get this right, and you're not dealing with it. So when he takes his hand off, the devils just swarm all over us. And then after a while, it'd be like, even like the prodigal son, we come back to our senses and we come running back to Father to get set free. You know, we're quite willing to repent then. We think, you know, if we'd have done it earlier, we might have stayed out of trouble. But here's one of the things that we see about people in doing warfare. Everybody is so quick to just jump into warfare without ever taking a step back and saying, Lord, did I open a door for these things?
Yes, come on now. I say that all the time, Doctor.
Well, you're saying it right then.
Seriously, people are not examining their hearts when it comes to sickness and everything. Yes.
So we just say, look, don't just jump right into it. Go get with God and say, Lord, do you show me? Because we know that God wants to help us. And if we're really honest with him, he will show us. If we've opened the door, then we need to repent, and we need to shut that door, and then we need to drive those devils out. And if he doesn't show us anything that we've done that's opened the door, a curse causeless will not come, then we go into warfare and we give it all, use all the ammunition we've got out of God's word.
Yes.
Right.
And, you know, I want to add something there. When God was changing me so that I could be healed, one of the things he told me to do was to give up murder mysteries. Well, I loved murder mysteries.
Yeah,
but I
me
said,
too.
Okay. I said, I'll give up murder mysteries, Lord. And I went on a trip with my daughter and grandson to Costa Rica. Well, you know, the TV was in Spanish. Everything was in Spanish. And I got bored, and I picked up a murder mystery. Well, the next day, I had Montezuma's Revenge. I had the worst case of diarrhea the world has ever seen. It was misery.
Wow.
And I said, God, I'll never pick up another murder mystery if you'll get me home.
Yes. So, in other words, he told you not to do it, and then you turn around and did it, so it opened the door of the enemy, is what
That's
you're saying.
Right. That's right.
Yes, now,
because
going
I had
back
made a promise.
Ties, I do have a quick question about soul ties, and then we're going to take the commercial, and we want to hear what your preaching is. Okay, soul ties, they can come in other than just sex. There's many ways you can get a soul tie, right?
Yes,
How do you get soul ties? What does it mean?
Well, you can get soul ties with, you have soul ties with your family. You have soul ties with teachers. Anybody who was in a position of authority over you, anybody, you have a soul tie with your brothers and sisters, friends. Jonathan and David had a soul tie. The Bible says that because they were very good friends. So a soul tie is someone with whom you have a close relationship. Now, if someone had an abusive family member, they don't want to break the natural soul tie, or they may, I don't know, but they want to break the abnormal soul tie, the ungodly soul tie.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so if you had a teacher that spoke words over you every day that were word curses and treated you badly, then you want to break the soul tie with that teacher. And Van and I, he broke soul ties with his patients, and I broke soul ties with my former students because, all right, just think it. Van was a physical therapist. Everybody he dealt with was sick. You don't want to keep a soul tie with sickness. And I dealt with emotionally disturbed students.
Right.
And you don't want to keep a soul tie with people who have emotional problems because their devils come to you. And if you receive them, then they'll come in. So if you're in the medical profession, break soul ties with your patients. If you were, if you had a job where everybody treated you badly, break soul ties with the people on that job.
We break word curses also from everybody that has a soul tie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially if it's been like a divorced spouse or people and their families too, because they will word curse the other spouse. So we kind of put word curses in with a lot of our soul ties when we break them.
And, you know, too, parents will word curse their own children without realizing it. We were at a restaurant yesterday, and the waitress's little boy was there with his grandmother, and she said, "My boy is so bad," and we said, "Don't say that. That's a word curse."
Yeah.
All right, you wonder why you word curse this child all of his life, and he's 16, and he comes out and becomes a thug. Well, you word cursed him his whole life.
Yeah.
You need to break word curses.
I don't think we really have a revelation of how much our words really mean.
Yeah.
I mean, how just releasing it out of our mouth is going in the atmosphere. And, you know, a lot of prophecies have come for 2016 that we're going to have creative miracles this year just by the words of our mouth. The authority to the Christian is going to be increased this year. You know, so maybe God's going to give us a greater revelation this year of the power of our words. I do know this. I interviewed a guy on the radio who is an ex-Satanist and warlock for 30 years. He said that he could speak out of his mouth and it would appear. Now, listen, this is a Satanist.
Yeah.
And he would say, "I want a Maserati," and he'd walk outside and it'd be sitting there. He had so much wealth as a warlock, you know. And it's like, wow, if, you know, they can do that, we have much more than that, you know. So
there's
God gives us
a
revelation.
Says,
okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back, and you're going to preach the Word of God. Amen.
Lord. Okay.
Okay, one moment.
Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Okay, Bob, we're back. This is Dr. June Knight. I'm here tonight with Drs. Van and Sandy Hutchinson from Mullins, South Carolina. They have a deliverance ministry, an international deliverance ministry, and they are going to preach the Word of God tonight. Go ahead, Dr. Van.
Okay. Is this my teaching time now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk with you just a very few minutes here about our deliverance model, because we talk about deliverance in two areas. There's the basic deliverance, and then there's the advanced deliverance. And if you're talking about advanced, you're talking about witchcraft and Eastern religions and sexual demons and personalities and things like that. But most people, and I'm talking everybody in the church also, can really benefit by getting a basic deliverance, which is what we call basic deliverances. In our basic model, we talk about that we are a triune being. We're spirit, soul, and body. Well,
yes.
We know in Galatians 5:17 that it says that the spirit and the flesh lust against one another. Now,
yes.
In my Bible, there's a capital S there for spirit, which they're talking about the Holy Spirit. But I really believe it's less Holy Spirit and more human spirit that is warring against the flesh or our human body. The Holy Spirit puts into our human spirit, and our human spirit is warring against the flesh. But the battleground for that war is in the soulish realm. Now, the soul is the thought, will, emotions, and intellect. So in that area, our human spirit is trying to rule over the flesh in the thought, will, emotions, and intellect. And the human flesh or our human body is trying to rule over the spirit in the same area. Now, we have the Holy Spirit that is helping our human spirit, but the flesh also has demonic spirits that are trying to put into our soulish realm. I think they don't exactly reinforce the flesh. They want to gain their own entrance. They've got their own agenda that they're trying to serve. There's only two locations for demons: demons that are outside of people and demons that are inside of people. The demons on the outside are trying to influence people so they can gain entrance. And once they gain entrance, then they will control specific areas in a person's life, like anxiety, depression, and those kinds of things.
Wow.
This is good, brother. Well, I could quit right there and stop on top.
I'm telling you, that is some powerful stuff. Come on now.
Well, you know, if you don't have a model to go by in deliverance, then it's just shooting from the hip. And we're so thankful that God sat me down and outlined all this for me so I'd know what I was supposed to go do. It makes it a lot easier to do deliverance when you know where you're going.
Yes.
Basic deliverance is this: stress causes abnormal emotions. And abnormal emotions causes people to do inappropriate actions. And so people come and say, well, I'm in pornography, I need help. Well, we don't start at pornography because that's just the symptom of the stress. So we take a history and we identify, where did your stress come in? Where did your problems come in? And what emotions did it elicit in you? And out of those emotions comes the action that you're doing that's incorrect. So when we deal with deliverance, we want to start back at the root. We want to cut the root and let the fruit die. A lot of times you don't even have to deal with the pornography. You don't have to deal with the cursing. You don't have to deal with all these other things if you've cut the root and got the emotions out. So, having said about the spirit, soul, and body and the war that's going on, and that the demons on the outside are trying to gain entrance, and one of the ways they're going to do that is by giving you suggestions in your soulish realm. And if we start to take those suggestions, then they enter in and they start to do whatever their vile deed is, whether it's lust or anxiety or whatever. So there's four types of demons that we talk about when we talk about the soulish realm, the thoughts, will, emotions, intellect. But if you're thinking about the soul, we're talking about the mind. And there's three areas in the mind that we, in our model. There's the conscious mind, there's the subconscious mind, and then there's the unconscious. In the conscious mind, all the facts, all the senses that you experience, they come into your conscious mind, and you hear people talk, you see things happen. All of those events come through your conscious mind. Now, if you keep hearing something in your conscious mind, and demons, this is where they're going to start to speak. They're going to tell you things, and they're going to tell you over and over and over and over. And what happens in the conscious mind is, by repetition, it becomes a learned fact. And once it's learned, it moves from the conscious mind into the subconscious, and you don't have to think about it anymore because you've already learned it. And a good example of how we do that is in driving your car. Once you've learned how to drive your car, you don't have to think about turning your steering wheel, pressing the brake, pressing the accelerator, and those things. You don't have to think about that. You just do it automatically because it's learned and it's in the subconscious mind. Now, after you live these events over and over in your subconscious mind, somehow, some way, they move from the subconscious into the unconscious mind, which is what we're calling the lowest depths of our soulish realm. And when it gets to the unconscious mind, it now is an attitude. It's a way of life. It's exactly who you are. And if you want to know who you really are, just take a hammer and beat your thumb as hard as you can. And the first words that come out of your mouth will tell you what's way down inside in your
Oh, come
your
on now. Amen. Put them under pressure and you find out. Yes.
That's exactly right. And when people get in stress, what's in their heart will come out.
Yes.
They might be the nicest thing, but you put them under stress, and that's what comes out. And that's how you know what's deep down inside of you. But the thing is, those are where the demons are. They're the anxieties, they're the worry, they're the fornication, they're the lust. They're deep down inside, they've become attitudes, and it's who we are. And things that will happen that we will see in our conscious mind will elicit responses out of that unconscious because it's a trigger. And we don't even know those things are there, and they just pop out at the most inopportune times. And so when we're dealing with deliverance, our deliverance is going to go into the unconscious mind in the deepest part, in those attitudes, and we're going to cast out the attitudes. So let's talk about four demons that we deal with. In the conscious mind, this is where they first start to work. We just go ahead and say it. There's seducing spirits, which are doctrines of devils. Then comes deception. Then comes lying spirits, and then comes error spirits, which are really those ones that cause us what we're doing. They're error spirits when we're doing incorrect things. So we'll have these seducing spirits that will begin to speak to us. And Sandy said a while ago, you've got to cast down the imaginations. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's so important. If you don't tell those things, I'm not taking that thought. Get behind me, devil. I bind your manifestation. Leave in Jesus' name. Then they just keep telling you over and over and over and over until you get to remembering it, and it goes into your subconscious, and that's when the demons start moving in. So
wow.
Here's what a seducing spirit would say. They'll give you facts that once it gets in your subconscious mind, there's no rationalization to it. It doesn't have to be rational at all. It's just something you've learned. And so these seducing devils will say something like, nobody likes you. And they keep telling you over and over and over, nobody likes you, nobody likes you. And if you don't block them and tell them to leave, after a while, you're going to start to remember, nobody likes you. Now, that really doesn't make sense, because surely your mama or your daddy, your brother or your sister, your friend, your spouse, somebody in this world's got to like you. But the devils will tell you, nobody likes you. And when you start believing that, then in comes those seducing spirits.
Yeah.
Now, once that gets established in us, it opens the door for deceiving spirits. Now, deceiving spirits will tell you something like this. See, we've already got established nobody likes us. Well, the deceiving spirit will come in and say, something must be wrong with you, and you're no good. You're a bad person. Why? Because nobody likes you. You see, it starts to build. It's like stepping climbing up steps. It just gets from bad to worse. So if we will take the fact that nobody likes us, then it must be because we're bad people. It can't be that there's something wrong with them. Now, see, again, that's not rational, because it can't always be us. Maybe it is them. Maybe the people that don't like you, maybe they're jealous. Maybe there's something else going on in their life. We don't know, but you see, the devils don't care. They just want to beat you down until you don't have any confidence that you can't do anything to serve Jesus. So once these deceiving spirits get you to believe in that there's something wrong with you and that you're a bad person, then they will open the door for the third, for the lying spirits to come in. And lying spirits always cause turmoil. Because let's think about this. If you're 25 years old and you believe that nobody likes you and you believe that you're a bad person because nobody likes you, then how are you going to get by? See, if you live to be 75, you've got 50 more years in your life to live knowing that you're a bad person and that nobody likes you because you're a bad person. How can you justify, how can you live a life where you feel fulfilled knowing just believing that those things are true? So there's a great turmoil that comes on, and we call this a battle for homeostasis. That is where it levels off, and we can finally come to a place where we accept who we are. Now, I got to tell you, some people don't have much trouble with this. They just move right on, and nothing seems to bother them. And then there's the majority of people that will have problems with this. Well, how can I live if I'm that bad a person? How can I go get a job? How can I get a spouse? How can I raise my children if I'm this bad a person? And they have trouble with that. But then there are another group that checks out. They get another personality. They just cannot handle it. So the worst thing is not being able to handle it. But for the majority of people, there's this place where they're fighting for homeostasis. They're fighting to find some way that they can rationalize being a good person, even though they know in their heart, they know that nobody likes them and that they're bad people. And when that happens, that becomes an attitude. How can I live? See, it's not specific things now. It's become an attitude, and it affects everything that people see, everything that they do. People that are in this position are going to demonstrate it by one of two different areas. They're either going to have fear or they're going to have pride. Now, the truth of the matter is that most everybody has some fear and some pride.
And yes, amen.
It's not all or, it's not either or, but they will be predominantly walking in pride or predominantly walking in fear. Now, here's what happens. If a person comes out of this turmoil in fear, it's going to make them start doing inappropriate things, acting in inappropriate ways. But all of these that we're talking about now, fear is a demon, pride is a demon, and the response that we give in relation to fear or pride are demons also, because we've learned that attitude of fear, we've learned the attitude of pride, and they open the door for other attitudes to come in through seducing, deceiving, and lying spirits, and now into the spirit of error. Spirit of error in fear might do something like this. These people, they may start avoiding other people. And you see, they're going to be withdrawn. They're going to have spirits of alienation. They're going to have spirits of timidity. They're going to have spirits of bashfulness. And then overly submissive, because they're afraid of everybody. They're afraid that nobody likes them. So they're going to try to be good so people will like them. And then surely these people don't love themselves. They'll have an unloving of self-spirit, self-rejection. They'll have self-hatred, and they're going to project rejection. Everywhere they go, they'll have a spirit that projects rejection, and everybody they come in contact with is going to reject them. And it's doing what those first devils said. Nobody likes you, so they reject you. Why? Because you're a bad person. Now, these people, they'll have emotional states such as anxiety and depression, and they'll be great fantasizers. They'll have spirits of fantasy that come in because they can't stand their life. So they live vicariously through somebody else's life, through sports figures or through TV stars or movie stars, and they'll live their life like that, and they never find out who they are in Jesus. We had a lady one time that was a third generation witch, and when we started getting her set free, she told us, she said, "I'm just now finding out who I am," and that was a tremendous revelation for her to find out who she was and not who those devil attitudes in her were. And so let me give you the last one before we have to stop. See, if they don't come out in fear, they're going to come out in pride. And pride is a spirit. These people will have the "I'll show you" attitude. They're going to make you think they're something. Even though they may not feel like they are, they're going to make you think they're something. And they'll have emotional states such as they'll be workaholics. They'll stay up all night long and get their project done for the business just to make sure that they measure up to everybody else. They'll be performance-driven people. And they may dress provocatively and have tattoos all over their body, and this just screams, "See me, I'm something, I'm worthy." They may be braggers, they may be possessive, and if they're possessive, probably they've got spirits of jealousy. They'll have controlling spirits. They'll have anger. They'll have rage, and they'll demonstrate all of that by bullying other people, and maybe even in violence against other people. And so when we do deliverance, what we're doing is we're going after these things that come out of fear and pride, and we're going to cast out those demons that give attitudes that cause people to have trouble in their lives. And once we cast those devils out, it's going to help these people function more normal so they can glorify God. And it's also going to help them become all they can be in Jesus. And I heard a man say this past week, he was talking about sanctification. And a friend of mine said, when you're talking about sanctification, you're talking about cleaning people up for God. And he said, that's exactly what deliverance ministers do. They get rid of demons that hold people back so they can go on and be all they can be with God. But
right.
Getting these demons out and getting these attitudes out is just the first step. You have to replace those attitudes with the things of God, which means they got in by the repetition through the conscious mind. So we've got to go back and start training these people on the Word of God so that they can continue to hear the Word of God until it's learned in the subconscious. And then they start to walk this walk out every day, every day, every day. When they miss the mark, they repent and keep on going. And somewhere, somehow, sometime, that thing will jump from that subconscious into the unconscious, and now it's a new attitude, it's a new who they are, and it's all in Jesus Christ. It's thinking like Jesus, it's talking like Jesus, and it's walking like Jesus Christ. And that's what causes us to do deliverance. Okay?
Well, I've got to ask you this when you brought that up about tattoos. I saw a documentary one time online where this guy was a high priest, satanic high priest, and he was loaded with tattoos. He said that the satanic church put all these tattoos on him of warlocks and all this other stuff. And when he was in prison, and when he got saved and he was talking to the Lord, he said, "Lord, I'm very embarrassed now that I'm a Christian to have all of these marks on me from all these demons." So he said, "You know, how can I be a Christian with this?" And he went to take a shower, and God washed off all those tattoos. He was completely tattooless, and he was covered in them. And
that's
so he went to his parole, and they're like, "Are you even the same person?" And he told them what happened. He said, "I have a miracle. God washed all those tattoos off me." And so they ended up letting him go. But anyways, are tattoos demonic, or I've heard that they can cause demons to enter, or is that a folk tale, or what?
We deal with tattoos on people when we know they got them, because the Bible says that we shouldn't mark our bodies.
Yeah.
And so we try to deal with that. You know, for the normal people, they're not going to wash those off.
Yeah, I know.
We just take them through repentance and ask God to forgive them for that, because they, you know, Jesus said this: "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And
yeah,
that's the basis for forgiveness always. Father, they didn't know what they were doing. They had not learned this. And so we just ask God to forgive them. And if we were doing deliverance on these people, we might even command any spirits that have attached themselves or entered in through having these tattoos to...
And assault them.
And yes. Sandy just reminded me. We will tell those demons, anything attached to that, come out and let them go in Jesus' name. But also, we will break the soul tie and the blood covenant with the tattoo artist.
Really?
That they have punctured their skin, and we call it a blood covenant.
Every time blood is released, you have a blood covenant with that person, and you need to break the blood covenant.
Wow! I never knew that one.
Yes.
Well, because I had a person when I was talking to them, I said, "You know, I heard that you can bring demons in through tattoos," and they're like, "Well, then what about piercing?
That's
you
right.
Pierce your ears?
We'll go for pierce too."
Now, there's another scripture that talks about piercing the ears. I don't have that in front of me here, but we have people repent for piercing their ears, and we break the soul tie with the person who pierced their ears. But then we tell them, now, if you go back to wearing the earrings, you're going to bring all that back on you. And, you know, some people, I know Frank and Ida Mae Hammond taught at length that wearing pierced earrings and piercing of the ears brings curses that manifest in the face, ear, and neck region.
Acne was
really
one of these things.
Yeah, acne,
rosacea.
Ear problems, eye problems, everything through that ear-eye zone. Yeah. And
Philip Morris told us about one, a little baby, that they had pierced the ears that had temporomandibular joint, the jaw joint, and he had problems. They were going to do surgery on it, and he got them to take out the earrings and to renounce it and ask God to forgive them and heal the baby, and they didn't even have to do the surgery.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were doing deliverance on a woman one night, and we told her about that, and she said, well, I want y'all to break that off of me. And when we went to break that curse, her face morphed, and she looked, she was a black lady, and when that happened, her face morphed, and she looked like a Chinese elderly woman with no teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
But we broke that curse off of her, and told her, now don't put the earrings back on.
I don't think I would have put them back on after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. So no piercing and no tattoos, basically, to protect your temple.
Right. And well, see, every time you have a surgery, you need to bind up any receiving of demons, because they're going to pierce your body, right?
Yes.
And so you bind it up, and then when you get out of the surgery, you cast out anything that might have attached to you while you were in that surgery.
Because they have a passive mind.
Yeah. You weren't able to fight while you were under the anesthesia.
We tell people, bind those demons before you go to surgery, and then I'd be careful right after surgery saying anything came in, come out, because you might start coughing. And, you know, if you've got abdominal surgery or something, that can be painful. But we tell them as soon as they can, they need to see if anything's there. And, of course, in deliverance, overkill is better than undershooting. If you even think it might be there, call it out. It's better to call out something that's not there than to leave something off that is there.
Oh, that's good. Amen.
Yeah. Charles Capps said one time, if you've got to take medication, you better pray over it before you take it. So we don't tell people, if you've got to have surgery, don't have it. Well, I mean, that would be stupid. But we just say, make sure that you pray and you bind before you go in, and then you break anything that came on you when you come out.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we could go on all day long because there is so much wisdom we could pull off of y'all, but we do want to thank you for imparting into the bride today, and I can assure you we will have you on again in the near future. I would like to pray and ask the bride across the world to come in agreement with me over this couple, and if y'all would just bow your head, and we're going to sow into their mission. Lord, we thank you so much for Drs. Van and Sandy Hutchinson, Lord. We thank you, God, for the 30 years that they have been in the battle, Lord. We thank you that you've held them through all the storms and trials and temptations and journeys and sifting and shaking and all the things you've done in their life to bring them to the point now to where they can go on the airwaves, Lord, and share with people wisdom. Golden nuggets of wisdom, Lord, of how to protect our temples and how to protect the anointing that's on the inside of us, Lord. So, Father God, we speak together in unity because the Bible says when two or more agree is touching anything, that prayer will be answered. We come together in agreement, Lord, that they will have every provision that they need for the vision that you have called them to do, Lord. We ask you, God, to give them all the tools and strategies from heaven that they are going to need to accomplish their mission as well. God, we thank you for sending forth a host of angels to come down to help them in the spiritual warfare. And, Lord, any territory that they are trying to take in the spirit, Lord, we come together in agreement. We come together with the agreement of heaven over this ministry, over this family, and over them as a couple, Lord. We hold up their arms saying, go out and march and be the warriors that God has called you to do, doing everything that he has called you to do with all the boldness and strength and health that you're going to need to do the mission that God has called you to. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for increasing their borders, increasing their favor,
favor with other ministries, Lord. Favor with more books that need to be released, Lord. Favor with the government, Lord. Favor with the media, Lord. Favor to give the instruction out there, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and give you praise for sending them intercessors. They need intercessors, Lord, with the warfare that they're fighting. And, Lord, I just thank you, God, for keeping them all them years, Lord. And I thank you that greater days are ahead, Lord. And we give you all of the honor and the glory and the praise today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we would appreciate it, please, if you would pray for our ministry and pray for the bride, please.
Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for laborers that are willing to go into the harvest, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we know that the hour is short. This harvest is almost white now, Lord. It's almost past time for harvest. But, Lord, we're asking you, Lord, to bless this ministry, Dr. Knight's ministry. Bless this radio program that she has. Bless her ministry, Lord, as she goes out to teach and to preach and to do warfare and deliverance. Lord, we just thank you for opening doors that no man can close, Lord. And, Lord, we pray that you'll prosper this work that they're doing on the radio programs. Lord, prosper everything they lay their hand to. Give them the rain in the due season and bless the work
thank
of their hands,
Lord.
Father. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And, Lord, we pray for the body of Christ. Lord, we pray for the Christians of this world, not only for America, but we pray, Lord, for those that are in the Middle East where ISIS is, Lord. Lord, that you would protect them, Father. Lord, in America, we don't even understand what's happening to those poor people.
Yes,
but, Lord God, you see it, and we ask you, Lord, to give them victory, Lord, to protect them, protect their children, protect their women, Lord, protect the men. And, Lord, we pray for America. Lord, our hearts is for America. Lord, we want to see people saved all over the world, and we minister to people all over the world over Skype, Lord. But, Lord, you know our heart is for this nation, that the heart of this nation would be turned back to a living God, that Jesus would reign and be supreme in America. And, Lord, we ask you for a revival. We're asking you, Lord, because we're bold, Lord. Lord, when Jesus said in John 14:12 that the works that he did would we do in even greater because he went back to you, he said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And, Lord, we're bold. We're bold in asking. We want the largest, greatest revival that America has ever had. And from America, Lord, I'm asking you, let it spread out all across this world. Lord, give us revival. Give us revival in this land. Lord, bring our churches back to a place where we believe your word and we act on your word. Lord, not what's the media tells us or that we just want to get along with everybody, because we don't care. Lord, we just want to get along with you. We want to serve you. Lord, we pray for this nation, for those that are pushing agendas that you have called an abomination. We pray for those that kill our unborn. We pray for those, Lord, that do things that your word says is contrary to your nature. We pray for them, Father. We don't pray any retribution on them. We don't pray for you to get them, Lord. We're praying for mercy. We're praying that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, that they would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this nation once again will stand for the world to look at and say, that's a nation that's a Christian nation that follows the King of glory, and his name is Jesus, Lord. Lord, give us that revival. And, Lord, I pray that you will protect your people, Lord, protect your Christians in this nation, Lord, from things that might come. Lord, we ask you to protect us and make us strong, Lord, for the days that are ahead.
Lord.
And we give you the glory for that, Father. Lord, may each one of us settle in our own heart that we're going to follow you, even if it costs us our life, that we will follow you, Lord. Lord, we love you and we want to serve you. And we want to see when Jesus comes, we want to see an army of believers that this world won't believe. that they won't, they would have never thought there were so many of us here, Lord. Lord, give us that revival.
Amen to that.
Give us that revival in Jesus. And, Lord, I pray for the Middle East. I pray for the Muslims,
Lord,
of the Middle East. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to them. Reveal yourself to the ISIS people, Father. Reveal yourself. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank y'all so much, and y'all have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Well, thank you so much.
Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.